Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to our mini episode. Welcome to Goodish Girls, where we are going to cover Lights Out today by Nevessa Allen. This is a mini episode. It's going to be pretty short. It's not a super deep dive, but we are going to talk about some of our favorite parts, some of our favorite things, and there will be a few spoilers. Nothing too in-depth, though, so listen at your own will. I am Cass.
And I'm Dallas.
And we'll be your host for today. Okay. let's start out with like a little recap. Okay. So Lights Out by Nevessa Allen came out last year. It is a pretty big book right off the bat. Book Talk loved it. A lot of people I've heard, all over the place have really gotten into it, but it is the beginning of a series. It's at the bottom. She even notes an Into Darkness novel, which is kind of interesting. So she already kind of hinted that there would be more within this series. And number two will be coming out later this year, which it's going to follow, I believe, one of the characters that we meet in Lights Out, if I'm correct. I might be wrong. But from what
there's motorcycles, read, though.
Yeah, it sounded like.
So if you're
like,
into dudes wearing helmets, it's for you.
This book is about men wearing masks. So if you love masks, that was something I didn't know that I was into until I read it. Yeah.
You know what's really funny is I didn't realize that I had a praise kink until I listened to this book. And I was like,
oh, I knew I had that.
I did not. I was like,
that's like the number one. You're like, I love to be told that I'm doing so good.
Right? Or, I feel like that's fair. Cass is all on TikTok.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised not everybody has a praise kink. But it's whatever.
Got to have a little bit of drama.
I lie about it, you know? I will say that this book starts off with a pretty long trigger warning.
What, you mean the menu?
So...
I read that the other day.
I mean, yeah. I would recommend...
I've been waiting all week to say that to you.
I mean, you're not wrong. yeah. And if you're... Oh, let me just pause for a second, because I highly suggest listening to the audiobook.
Yes.
Even if you're not an audiobook person... This is the audiobook to listen to. It has a male and a female. And the guy who plays the MMC, the main male character, is literally perfect.
Yeah, he does a great job.
He really like brings the character to life, which I love. Like both of them are really good. They have, I feel like, really great like chemistry back and forth as well. But a part that really gets you as well is it reads the trigger warnings to you between the two of them back and forth. And they have a little bit of a banter at the end as well, being like, if you're still here, you got some problems, but here we go. Let's start this book. So it is really cool.
Don't worry. Cass and I can recommend our therapist to you.
Yeah. She's a great one. So yes, a long menu of trigger warnings, 27. We just counted them to be exact. So obviously read that first, make sure you're cool with everything.
Yes, be comfortable. If you're not comfortable, don't listen to it.
Yeah. We aren't going to talk like super in depth about some of those things. So, don't worry. But for sure if you're reading it. Just a heads up. I'm going to start with.
Would you consider this a dark romance comedy?
So I believe it's marked as a dark romance.
Right.
I think of it as a rom-com.
I think you were supposed to laugh in it a lot because I did.
I LOL'd
a lot.
Yes.
My headphones while walking around my house.
It's the main male character. He is so funny. Like, it's funny. Just the way that he says things and I feel like the way that he did it in the audiobook really makes the stuff, like, makes you laugh. But yeah, I think she marked it as, like, a dark romance, but every review I've ever seen is like, this is a rom-com. Like, this is not, this isn't.
The dark rom-com.
Like, yeah, there's dark elements, but, like, it's not. I laughed more than I felt like the ick. So, which I don't think I can handle a lot of stuff. So I feel like the things that it did discuss that are in some of the trigger warnings, like, it didn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't, yeah. I would say rom-com, but that's just me. Rom-com with some dark elements.
10 out of 10.
So I'm going to start with reading the, like, overall view or, like, the view of each character, like, the female and the main character that she wrote, Neves Allen wrote herself, before we get into it. And I'll mention a few other characters after. And then we're going to do, like, a how I set it up today. We're going to go through some of my favorite quotes from the book. And while we go through those quotes, that's what kind of pulls us along through the story. So we won't be, like, again, no deep dive, no super crazy, like-ness, but enough that we can talk about, like, the really important points and fun things. Trauma nurse Allie doesn't need any more kinks. She likes the one she's landed on just fine. To her, nothing could top the masked men she follows online, unless one of those men was shirtless, heavily tattooed, and waiting for her in her bedroom. She dreams about being hunted by one in particular, of him chasing her down and doing deliciously dark things to her willing body. She never could have guessed that by sending one drunken text, those dreams would become her new reality.
Bam. There it is. Bam. You know, and I want to mark it out because I think some people will listen to this and or read this book and blur those lines of consent versus not consent. Like, in the quotes, it says willing body. Like, this is very much for consensual.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. And she does.
He definitely does a few things that is not like to interact with her off the bat, but not like once they meet up. Yeah. So, like,
we'll there's a word it, like, for it that she calls up. It like the stalker trope, like the consent of stalking. Like, where there's a word for it in the book. I'm gonna try to Google it really quick.
Okay. The second spot, right, is about the main male character. So Josh has spent his life avoiding the limelight, but his online persona is another story. At night, he posts mass thirst traps for his millions of fans to drool over, but one follower has caught his eye, Allie. After reading a comment begging him to break into her house wearing a mask, he decides to take her up on her offer. Together, Allie and Josh live out their darkest fantasies, unaware that Allie has captured the attention of someone else, someone with far more sinister intentions than a little light stalking. As Josh turns from predator to protector and the stakes heighten, he must ask himself how far he's willing to go for the woman he's obsessed with. So, overall, I feel like that covers the story without giving any spoilers.
Yeah.
But it does even say in the review that there is that communication right before where she's like, oh my gosh, do this. And then when he does, she's like, whoa.
Yeah, literally every day, like, wait, she's online at her super traumatic emergency room in her city job, looking for his videos to drop. Like, wish you were and in like, my room.
She's like, I need a break. I need a break from that stuff I just dealt with. Let me just slide up real quick.
Yes, exactly.
So we have Josh and Allie. Did you figure it out?
No, I'm still looking. Word?
Okay. We have Josh and Allie. Those are the main two. You have Fred, which is Allie's cat. You have Tyler, which is Josh's roommate and Allie's ex hookup. Okay, that's an important link. You have Brad. He comes in later. Nobody likes
so
him.
So I
and then we
I
have know. Like Nico and Junior.
So when I was reading your notes on this, I laughed so
did
hard
you like
you were,
it?
You were like, you said Brad. Also dead body. His dead body. To clarify.
I mean, but he is.
It's only one in the whole book.
Well, they talk about, you know.
You're right. It just made me laugh. So
it's not the only. I mean, they talk about other things.
I mean, they do, right? Because, like, we know that Josh has a father who has a very terrible past, which is why Josh is partially the way that he is.
He has a lot of issues, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, so does Allie. A lot of fear.
Yeah, a lot of fear that he is like his father when he's not like his father, and he tries every day to figure out how he's not like his dad. So he's consistently looking for like things like, oh no, is this something my dad would do? Or is this something how this would go?
Right.
Which is why he like works out at night and he hangs out at night. He's like super into the like cyber stuff and techie stuff. And he has a job doing that kind of stuff so he doesn't have to go out and about. So, I mean, it's honestly, it sucks that it's like unrealistic because how many men out there are cyber teching it up all night, right? Like chilling in their office chair, their comfy chairs for gaming and things like this, who are ripped. Where are they? Where are they, Gaz? I've never seen one.
Our husbands,
I mean, they're probably
can't
in their house.
To this.
I'm just saying.
Because I've never seen one. One does not live in my house.
Where are you? I'm going to count one day how many TikToks we can quote in a video. They just live rent-free right here. All the time.
Oh my gosh.
So Josh's dad was a serial killer through his childhood. So he is trying really hard to figure out that he's not like his dad. And even though his dad has a terrible, terrible past, that he is actually like a somewhat decent guy, right?
Right.
So Allie has this boyfriend, Tyler. Yeah. He's mid.
He's not even really a boyfriend. He's like a casual hookup.
Yeah.
But she also notes that like she's really bad herself at keeping up on talking to people because of her job, because she gets like into it and then she just like forgets other people exist. So she, like Dallas mentioned, she spends a lot of time scrolling through these videos of these masked men. And after a really bad shift, she's like, I'm going to send this to Tyler and see if he's down.
She's like, hey bro, I'm into this. Can you put on a mask? It's not that hard, Tyler.
And
just say yes.
He says no. He's like, girl, we haven't talked in 6 months. And she's like, wow, has it really been that long? My bad.
I mean, fair. Okay. All right, all right.
And he's like, I'm not into that stuff. No thanks. Vanilla. So, but one of my favorite little like quotes from this like first section of when she's watching these videos of him is, this man is always coming up on my For You page and never on me. And that is a tragedy.
A true tragedy. All right.
And I was like, I forgot about that little line. So she texts Tyler. He's like, nah. The next chapter is Josh, right? There, it's from dual like points of view. So it switches to Josh. And Josh is Tyler's roommate. And Tyler's like, ugh, check out this weird video this girl just sent me. And Josh is like, oh,
oh
shit.
Oh, no.
Oops. He's like, okay, because it's him. And he likes Allie. He has met Allie before, right? She's been over hooking up, and they one morning ran into each other while trying to get coffee in the kitchen. So he knows Allie. He thinks she's already pretty. Like, he knows of her. And thankfully, Tyler cares too much about himself to notice the man in the video has the same tattoos as Josh and that it is filmed in Josh's bedroom. What a true man. A true man is like, oh my God, look at this weird ass video.
Look at this girl.
It's literally the man he lives with in his own house, but okay. And Josh is like, this is great, right? He's like, he doesn't know who I am, but also,
it's kind of like the guys are looking around and they're like, I can't find this thing. Where is it? I can't find it. And it's right there.
You're like, open your eyes.
Literally right in front of you. Look at this girl. On Jesus.
I can't.
It's true.
So he reads the comments, right? He goes back and forth about this a few times. He's like, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? And he reads the comment where she's like, you know, I would really love for you to do this. I would love to come home and you be in my bed, like, randomly. So because he is a tech genius, he creates a street-wide blackout, breaks into Allie's home. Okay, but, like, the nice way. Like, he takes the time to unlock all the things. He doesn't, like, bust down her door. He's like
so polite.
He's literally sitting there taking, like, 5 extra minutes to unlock her deadbolt so he doesn't ruin anything. But while he's doing it, the whole time he's like, God, Allie, you need to get better, like, surveillance, better, like, security. What is this? So every time he's going through a step in her house, he's like, I'm ordering her this, and I'm ordering her this, and she needs this.
Gets her ass a security system.
So he breaks in, sets up a camera in her bedroom, and leaves one of his masks on her bed. And this is also where we first meet Fred, which is Allie's cat. And Josh does not do well with animals, right? It's part of his trauma from his dad. He's like, serial killer start out by killing animals. Yeah, he's like, I'm not going near one. I don't want that. But Fred likes him, surprisingly, because Fred does not like any men at all. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up petting Fred. They become friends pretty quickly. So he's like, okay, I kind of like you, Fred.
This is the moment I accepted Josh. If Fred accepts Josh, yes. I accept Josh.
Yeah.
I trust the cat's instinct more than anybody.
My dude?
He's like, what's up, bro?
Welcome
How'd
to my
you
house.
Get in here? My mom's not very smart at closing her doors.
So, yeah. So he meets Fred, and then he hits the road. Streetwide blackout again so he can leave. And then he sits at home, waiting on the camera for her to get home. And obviously, she freaks the fuck out. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Somebody was in my house. Somebody cooked here, okay? There's a mask on the bed. And Fred's acting a little weird. He's not really acting that weird, but she thinks so. So she reaches out to him on Instagram, and they talk over some time. She ends up finding out about the camera in her room because he makes a comment.
It was
to her.
In the light socket, right? Like, is it like a little?
It's a yeah. So it looks like her iPhone charger, but it's not. So he put it. So it made her think that her iPhone charger was plugged into the socket.
Okay, because I don't have a stalker kink. Charger. That part, I was like, oh no. That's where I was like a little uncomfortable.
Did James read this book? Because
no, I tried.
He does not love cameras in your house, though. Either
you're right.
I think he would have shut the book right then and there. He would have been like,
"He would have been jealous."
This is why we don't have cameras in the house.
I never thought about it like that. I didn't even warn him. Is that on the trigger list? Cameras in home.
So I think just invasion of privacy. But that needs to be on his trigger list.
He would have been so stressed.
Yeah.
I would have got the worst phone call ever.
Yeah, this book probably would have made him, like, I don't know, freak out. He wouldn't probably know what to do. All the new fears would come through. He'd be like, wait, wait, wait. Is this a real thing? Can this happen? What?
This can also look like a camera? Oh, no.
So, yeah. So, she finds out. She takes that camera down. But she does end up installing the security system that he sent her. So, all the gifts that he sent to her house to be like, you need this. She was like, all right, I'll keep it, I guess.
I mean, which is I would funny. Have as well. Don't send like just, that much. You don't send that expensive stuff back. You keep the gift.
I mean, yeah. I just think it's funny that she was like so upset about it, but then she's like, "But I'll install it, I guess." Like, so then she has a long shift, and he shows up in the parking garage to take her home in her own car.
Because he watched her through the hospital cameras, and he was like, she's had a really long day. She should not be driving in these conditions. Right. You know what happens when I've had a long day? I still have to get in my car and go home. No one's coming to pick me up and bring me a snack. Okay? Ridiculous. So stupid. I want to be picked up from working and given a free meal.
Right?
Mask or no mask.
At this point, though, she still doesn't know that it's Josh. Right, she doesn't know that she knows this man. Because he has, like, the long sleeves on, so he's covering most of his tattoos. He keeps a mask on, but he cannot speak because he doesn't have the voice modulator yet. And he's like, she knows my voice. We've met before. Mm-hmm. So he's texting her on her phone, which is really funny. But it's funny, so
weird, like, because
she's getting
away from him.
So annoyed. She's like, can you just talk? And he's like, no.
No.
So he brought her snacks. He takes her home. And the first interaction between them happens, but she also accidentally stabs him.
That does be happening.
While this happens. So then she has to stitch him up, and this is where she keeps some of his DNA. She's like, I'm going to find out who this fucker is, but also, I really like him, so. So yeah. There is a comment that happens. Or a quote that happens while they're kind of like going back and forth through these things of like meeting up, whatever. And he says, my evil plan was working. Step one, get Allie to drop her guard. Step two, fuck her on this couch. Oh, wait, no. I skipped a few steps somewhere. So it's like, he's just like so funny.
Oh, and when you hear this in like the voice on the audible, it's so funny.
It's so good. He's like, so good at like portraying him. I love it. It's
hilarious.
So they, okay. There's also one, this is out of order. So I'm going to fix some of these. So there's two more that kind of go with some of their meetups that they're having. One of my personal favorite is, no, God damn it. I did not need a brat kink on top of my newly awakened praise kink. The two were supposed to cancel each other out, not act as amplifiers. And it's so funny when he says it, he's like, no. Wait. and then of course, Josh loves Fred. So he's constantly like having conversations with him when he's at her house. But he was like, I thought we could spend some more quality time together as a family. You, me, our maladjusted son who scooted his butt across the carpet behind you. Like, he just always brings Fred into the conversations and he says the funniest things. I love it.
The cat is a huge part of this story and I love that. And Nevessa Allen also has cats. Character. I don't know if you know that. So I follow her online and she posts videos of her cats that like lay next to her laptop as she's writing. And they're so cute. Nevessa Allen, if you ever watch this, I want more videos of your cats.
I did not know that. But you know what? I'm not shocked because Fred is like the main character here.
He had to come from somewhere, right? Like the inspiration had to be there.
That's fair.
That's Why not fair, look at what's sitting right next to you? Cats are the best. You know, one of my favorite ones is when he gives him a piece of bacon. He like goes into the table and eats it.
Yeah. He's cute.
He's so cute.
I also love that he like he always needs to use the litter box at like the most inopportune times.
Yes.
Like when they like travel with him, they're like, he's like yowling because he has to go to the bathroom, and they're like, bro, hold your thing. Sir.
The cat owner part of me when I was reading that was like, I have traveled across country with my cat. I think she needs to go take him to the – I was like, she needs to take him to the vet. Like, he has a UTI or something.
You're like, something is wrong with this cat.
They should be able to go a couple hours without having to use the bathroom.
I think he's just a
– he's just needy boy, and that's okay.
Yeah, he's spoiled. So he's like, I must pee whenever I want.
Well, he's only child.
Okay.
He's their only son, goddammit.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Oh, man.
So, you have this really great build-up, right, of them together. Allie has a shift, and this is where Brad comes in.
Ew.
He is in the ER, and she's like, why is he back here? They're like, oh, the girl that he was here with a few nights ago, she came in, was like, this man, you know, did non-consensual stuff to me. His family gets him out of it because they're rich and they have the lawyer, and he plays the woe is me, I'm a poor rich boy, she's using me, blah blah blah, somehow gets out of it. The nursing staff hates him. Okay, they've met him a few times, so the female nurses are like, we're not helping him, males only, like, he's a disgusting man. But they're busy and they're tired of him sitting there staring at all of them. So Allie's like, I'm just going to do it. And the girls are like, no, 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 don't do it. Just wait. And she's like, I'm just going to do it. Let's get it over with. She's like, I feel safe. I know Josh is watching me through these cameras. I'm safe. I'm good. Okay. So she goes, takes care of him. And things do not go well. He is gross and demeaning, obviously. She holds out pretty well, and then she does fall into one of his traps when he's talking to her, and he uses that against her. And then he does freak out and acts like she threatened him and all these things, and makes a huge scene. And one of the males comes over, takes care of it. She ends up having to talk to HR about it because it's all these things, right? Like, he starts saying nasty things. So then she's like, okay, but like, you did this and you did this. And that was her problem. She should have not talked to him. And she does really well, right? For the first few, you're like, man, when I was reading it, I was like, if you would have said that to me, I would have said something. Or, you know, like, maybe I should have walked away. And she holds out for quite a long time. And then she says something and things go downhill. So she has to talk to HR to essentially save her job because he's crying wolf, right? Like, doing this whole show to get what he wants. And so then Josh sees that she's not having a good day. Like, she's obviously freaked out. She's going home early. He's like, what's going on? So he goes over. They decompress. They talk, whatever. This is when one of your favorite lines happens.
Okay, this was the line that I literally quoted to you for you to listen to the book.
Yes.
I was like, Cassidy, you're on my Audible already. You're logged in. This is the book.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
This is the best line.
So do you want to read it then?
Yeah, I want to read it.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so they're laying in bed and they were sleeping. And he still obviously has his mask on, right? Because she still like doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. But he at first had a voice modulator, then he didn't have, he like forgot it because he wore a different mask and it was sewn into the other one, right? And so they're like laying down and it says, a blaring of an alarm jarred me out of sleep. I shot up in bed and for a second I couldn't see anything. Fear punched through me, had the contacts rolled into the back of my eyes while I slept and severed my optic nerves. Was that even possible? Allie groaned somewhere nearby. What is that sound? I don't know. I've gone blind, I said, a voice laced with panic. Fuck, that was the second time I've forgotten to disguise it. What? She yelped, and the mattress shifted with her movement. Help me, I whimpered, Batman style. And yes, it was just as pathetic as it sounds. Oh my God, she said with a shaky laugh. You're not blind. Your dumb baklava slid sideways. I flopped backwards, so relieved that I was shaking. It's called a baklava, I told her. And what did I say? Baklava. One is a mask and the other a delicious dessert.
It's the best line in the book. The fear buildup of you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then for him to be like, nerves. Also, you're wrong.
Yeah, actually, one is a dessert, which are delicious. One is a mask.
Hold on 1 second.
Not to correct you here, but honestly, it's like you have to listen to that book.
It's so funny. Right after this,
that alarm's going off. Like shit's happening.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, "What is that alarm?" And he's like, "Oh my god, it's her security system." So he gets out of bed and he's like, "Stay in bed, don't come out."
Yes, okay? Sir.
Right?
No, sir. You don't have to tell me twice.
She doesn't listen. So she's like, "Stay." He's like, "Stay in bed. I got it. Okay, whatever." And he knows it's the back door because of the security system. So he goes and he waits and he can hear the person trying to break in. And he's like, okay, they have the deadbolt left. Like, you know, maybe they're just trying to break in, you know, try to steal some things. And then he cuts in his head and he's like, I'm going to kill him. And then he's like, whoa, 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 hold on. No. We're not going to do that. Right. Because he has the trauma of his dad being a serial killer. So he's like, no. Which I want to say, Josh, that that is a normal intrusive thought to have when somebody is breaking into your home. I think every man, if someone's breaking into their home and their wife is in the other room, their kids, whatever, I think they do think, I'm going to kill him. Right. Yeah. Like that's a normal intrusive thought. There's nothing wrong with that. You might not actually kill them, but you're like, ooh, come in. I dare you. Right. So
your thoughts are valid, you know, Josh. Fictional character.
You're not crazy. Okay. You're not a serial killer. You're having normal thoughts. So he's waiting for him to open the door. This man kicks the door in and he sees a man wearing a baklava. Okay. The same that he is wearing.
Not a baklava.
And he's like, oh, hell no. So he knocks this boy out, okay? Knocks him out, punches him, uses his jujitsu kaizen, punches him straight through.
Imagine trying to break into a house, being a tiny, I call him tiny man because he is.
Yes.
Losing my patience, kicking a door down, and then immediately being sucked in the mouth.
Knocked out. Cold. Knocked out cold. He's gone. So yeah, he knocks him out and he's like, okay, I'm going to take his mask off. And he hears a sound. Josh turns around and Allie's behind him, ghost white. And this is one of my favorite lines as well. It made me laugh. Like, I don't know why. I think the way he says it, it just made me laugh. But he says, no, she didn't. I narrowed my eyes at her. We are 100% about to have our second fight. Like, he is so mad.
He's so cute.
And she's like, it's Brad. I know it's him. I know it's him. Take the mask off. It's Brad. He has a backpack, which they find out has lots of things to murder people with. A little murder kit. And they're like, absolutely not. Not happening. So they put his mask back on. They grab his things. They tie him up. Josh makes a streetwide blackout to get his body into the car. And they are taking his body to the girl's family that was just in the ER with him, right? That didn't get anything out of it. So they're like, we're going to drop him off on this farm and they can have whatever they want. They can do whatever they want to him. So they do that, right? They're driving. They see his car on the way. Like Josh marks that. He's like, okay, great. I think that's his car. We'll take care of that later. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. They get to the edge of this farm. Open the trunk. And he's like freaking out, right? They're having this conversation and Allie's like, he's dead. And Josh is like, what the fuck do you mean he's dead? All I did was punch him. All I did was knock him out. And she's like, you covered his nose and his mouth.
I laughed so hard at this moment.
And he instantly, starts vomiting. Like, he is like on the ground, rolling around, vomiting. He's like, oh my God, I'm a killer like my dad. I can't believe I did this. And he's like freaking out. And she's like, bro, calm down.
You need to chill out.
It's not, you didn't mean to. You're fine. Like, he just put the mask on wrong. He just accidentally suffocated him. Okay, it's fine.
It was just a whoopsie. Loses Josh. His mind. We'll forgive you.
This poor man. Yeah. So then they're like, well, we can't leave it here, right? Like, uh-oh, absolutely not. So she says, hold on, let me call my uncle. My dad said only to call him in emergencies. That's because her uncle is part of the goddamn mafia, okay? She's like, Nico, I'm coming. And he doesn't answer. So she's like, I'm gonna drive to his house, okay? So they drive with this body all the way back to his house. Meanwhile, on the way there, they have the discussion where they're like, what we're doing together, this does not seem like a casual hookup kind of thing. I feel like this is like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing, okay? Like, I think we're dating. And they're like, yeah, we're dating. So while they're driving with this dead body in like a very traumatic part of their life, they're like, are we dating? Are we together? And this is where she says, are you saying that the couple who commits homicide together stays together? He snorted, too wordy. I prefer the couple who slays together. Or wow, who slays together stays together. Yeah.
The couple who slays together stays together. Oh, what a treat.
Wild. So they get there. They call in Nico. Nico answers on his little box because this man is rich, right? He's got the gated community, big ass house, all these fancy things, like 6-car garage, whatever. And he answers, and this is also one of my favorite things that he says. And he's like, what do you want? Like, he's really gruff, like angry. And Josh is like, I know it's the ass crack of dawn, but I still didn't appreciate him talking to my girlfriend like that. There went my mouth, pulling up into a too wide smile again. My girlfriend. And it's so funny. Just the way he says it, how cute he is. So, yeah. So they get in there. Nico obviously takes care of everything, but they're like, listen, you're going to be with my niece. You're going to take care of things since you're this fancy hacker man. So they take care of the body. And Josh gets sent out with part of the family to go hack in to Brad's things at his house to remove Allie from his computer. Okay. Like, that's like the main gist of it. He gets into the house and he can smell cat litter and rotting corpses. Okay. But he knows this from his past with his father. So to a normal person, you're probably like, man, the cleaner didn't do a very good job, right? It kind of stinks in here. They don't have cats, okay? But he knows that's a way that you can, right, take care of dead bodies while you have them, while you're holding them. So he knows there's already evidence in this house. So he takes care of Allie's stuff off there. He almost gets caught by Brad's family coming home. And he sneaks out the window. Allie meets him outside because the rest of the family left. They're like, we have to get out of here. There's people coming home. And Josh is like, no, I need to do this. Like, they need to be able to get into all of his things to see this. So he takes down all the passwords off of there. And he removes Allie from everything. So they do all these things. They get out. They be running from the cops. They be hiding in the snow in the woods and being like, oh my gosh, they can't see us. And then finally the uncle picks them up. And they get out of there and everything turns out as it should, right? Like, they find the bodies. They find all the crap that he has on his computer. The uncle spins it, somehow does this stuff that it looks like Brad fled the country. So that's never gonna come of an issue. And Allie's not in his stuff any longer. This is also kind of where she goes home to stay at Tyler and Josh's apartment, because she's like, he's like, I don't want you alone. Go there. I'll be there soon. Like, once he's done talking to Nico about everything. And this is where she finds out about Josh's past, about his dad. She has no idea of any of this before. And Tyler, being a really great friend, actually fully explains a lot of things to her about his dad. And he is terrified, right? Because he keeps talking this whole time about how I'm this terrible guy and I need to tell her about this. Or I need to tell her before Nico finds out and Nico tells her. Like, I want to tell her about my dad. Because his dad is a famous serial killer that she knows the name of. She mentions it earlier in the book, but you don't click it together until later on. And things end up being fine. She ends up staying. She's like, wow, I can see why you have the trauma. And like, literally like tells him how much she like loves him and like everything's okay. And he never in a million years thought that would happen, which is really sweet. So a lot of crazy things happen. Like literally more than half of this book has nothing to do with the ending. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, chapter 16. And you're like, whoa, what is happening here? And then it's just like a roller coaster from there. But yeah, everybody gets a happy ending. And, you know, Josh is not like his dad, which is great. And they end up together, which is great. It was a really good book.
It was such a good book.
It's a pretty short book. It's a fast read. It is a fast read. So if you're looking for something like kind of short and quick, like it is a pretty fast read. And the audiobook, like if you speed it up, I think I sped it up to like 1.5 and it still sounded normal. But yeah.
Overall, a great book. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the banter. I really enjoyed the comedy of it. I thought it was really great.
Yeah. I absolutely love Josh. But again, the second book coming out this year is not about Allie and Josh. It is a completely different storyline, but it's within the Into Darkness series. So,
Yeah, it's called Caught Up is when that comes out. And when it does come out, we will probably do a mini episode on it as well. So I would anticipate that happening once it's released.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. If you have also read this book and or listened to this book and loved it, you can drop that in our comments and tell us what you thought. If you have questions about it, we'd love to talk about it in the comments as well. Remember to like and share this post and this video and this audio. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. And subscribe if you want to hear
like and subscribe.
More of us hanging out. Dallas yells, subscribe, please.
Subscribe to my channel. I'll pay you $1.
If we're not making any money, Dallas, stop. You're gonna make us
have to give money to make money, Cassidy.
No.
Also, if there's books that you would like us to deep dive into, drop them in the comments as well. Maybe we've already read them. Maybe they're on our TBR. I don't know. We'll find out. So if there's anything maybe you guys want us to talk about.
On our DNF. I don't know.
Maybe on your I've only DNF'd one book in my whole life. One series. And I was three books in. How many books have you DNF'd?
I don't know.
How many books have you DNF'd?
No.
Tell me right now. More than one?
No, I really don't think I have, actually. Unless you count me not finishing Throne of Glass yet.
Oh my gosh, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
There's one. It's a little rom-com book. That one, it's still on my shelf. It was a gift from somebody.
Fair.
And I just, no, it's not it. Yeah. I'm really picky about rom-coms, but if they're dark rom-coms, I'm all about it.
When Summer in the City comes out, you should read it.
Yes.
It was awesome.
I like her as an author.
Mm-hmm, same. I really like her as an author. If you don't know who we are talking about, we're talking about Alex Astor, and she wrote Summer in the City, which is coming out soon. And I was part of that ARC team, which is very exciting.
She
so if
is
you have a chance to read that, read it.
Author of Light Lark as well, that series. So
yep, which is a great series.
Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. I love her writing. Yeah.
Yeah, she's I really like her a lot. She's really good. And she's really active on her social media, which I think is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of authors are like that. So I think that's super awesome that she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Book of Asriel is what I DNF'd.
What is that?
It's like a, it's a series where the FMC, or the female main character, is that, like, she's the villain. And she's, yeah, so she's the villain. I think you would like her for a while. Like, I liked her for a while. I was like, okay, cool. Like, she's been through some trauma. She's going through some stuff. And then I was like, girl, you got to get it together. And then,
you know what?
Two books.
Hold on. The woman who loves Nesta says this girl should get it together, but you
Nesta
would die
does
on
get
a
it
hill.
Together.
She.
Yes, I would die for Nesta. She does. Don't worry. There is an episode coming where we fight over Nesta. I'm typing it up. I got receipts.
Hold on. Her sister.
You tell me that I'm wrong. Her sister was a witch, right?
And what was her sister?
Bro.
That's Nesta.
But I can't do our argument, I think, until you read the third book of Crescent City. Because she's in it. And I think you need that perspective of Nesta. I think you need to see her in that light.
Don't think I do.
I think that you do.
It's great if she's being a great person now. But she was still a bitch for 90% of Silver Flames.
She was going through it.
Oh my gosh. Mental so was Feyre. And you didn't see her acting like that. She still went out and found food for her family. Nesta sat on her ass and did nothing while her younger sister went and found food. And kept her family alive.
They were all literally children. Okay. You know who's up?
And she was the oldest.
They were all children. Who was to blame?
The oldest.
Their dad. And, we should blame their father and their mother.
Because Nesta is like a full-grown adult, okay? How did she sit there and treat Feyre the way that she did? When Feyre was the only one doing something to take care of it.
Did you read her inner monologue in these books?
Yeah, I did.
She hates herself. She knows. She knew. She was like, basically, I fucking suck. She was like, this sucks. I hate it. She was so full of anger and rage. And she was abused from when she was a child. Like, Feyre never got, like, hit. But if you read it, like, when you read it, like, Nesta did. When she was dancing, her grandmother and her mother, they literally did nothing but, like, discipline her and groom her to be some prince's wife eventually. Like, girl had no chance to be kind. Girl was never shown kindness. Right? Like, Feyre was with dad when dad was, like, a normal dude doing his merchant stuff. Like, he wasn't really with Nesta. Nesta had her mom, who was not great. She had no chance in life. And yes, she did make some bad choices. And yes, she was
terrible,
rude
terrible
and mean
choices
to a lot of things. However, I feel like she did come around and redeem herself after she literally went through hell and sacrificed some of her power, made a literal bargain with the cauldron to save Feyre and her baby. I'm sorry. If you were enemies.
Okay, but what about Elaine? Sister,
what about Elaine? What about her?
She didn't give Elaine anything.
Well, I'm team Gwen Asriel anyways, so I don't know what to tell you about Elaine.
Oh, so you just don't want Elaine and Lucien to be happy?
Lucien doesn't have wings.
So you don't like Lucien? I got it.
All right, episode 2 of this argument coming out. I'm going to give it 3 days. Coming soon. Oh my gosh.
All right. Are we done recording?
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.